it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
Otto Stowe. Mike Colon.
Doug Kruzan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
This is Mark Ingram.
I'm Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Catello Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football, or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Catello.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. And what a week it has been, to say the least, for everybody that listens, week to week and has just heard last week to now. I don't think anybody could have imagined the course of events that took place in the last 7 days. It's just been a crazy whirlwind of emotions from every different perspective you can imagine. First, football-wise, Miami Dolphin-wise, the Dolphins have done it. They have found a way to get a victory and to clinch that final playoff spot. So the Miami Dolphins now are in the 2022/3 playoffs, and they beat the New York Jets by the score of 11-6, starting their third-string quarterback, Skylar Thompson, as everybody knows, and basically found a way to stop the decline of what was about to be an insanely disastrous collapse to a season which, I guess if you look at what happened to the New York Jets, it's very similar to that, the way their season declined, but you can add two more steps if the Dolphins were not able to put this one in the books. But they did, and that's all I guess that matters. They end their season at 9-8. Let's go through a little bit of the rundown stat sheet for this Dolphin-Jet game. Skylar Thompson, as you all know, started the game in place of both Tua and Teddy Bridgewater, who suffered a broken finger in the previous game before that. Basically, I guess everybody knew what was in store and what had to be done, and it was that kind of game. It was literally a defensive battle of field goals. The 11 was actually a safety on the last play of the game, which kicked that up. I'm sure there was ramifications on that betting-wise. We'll resort to Rich in a short while, and he can let us know if that had some big ramifications. But Skylar Thompson, 20 for 31, 152 yards in the air, and no touchdowns, no interceptions, and I guess that sums up a lot of what we just talked about. Jeff Wilson, your leading rusher, 16 for 72. However, the player of the game, right underneath that, Raheem Mostert, 11 for 71. And I really thought he was the player of the game. I thought that he was able to really run the ball hard and get some crucial yards when you needed it. He did suffer a broken thumb, I believe, at the end of that game and is now questionable to doubtful for the playoff game. So we'll see if we have any updates on that one. Now, receiving-wise, Gesicki, your leading receiver, first time of the year for that, 4 for 46, and made some really good catches, and it's about time they implemented him more into the offense. Waddle behind him, 5 for 44, and I think it was Dorm Smythe after that for 3 for 39. Tyreek Hill again, 2 catches for 23 yards. If you listen really carefully, I think you can still hear him complaining about it. So that's what that is right now. On the other side of the ball, the Jets, Flacco, 18 for 33, 149 in the air, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Rushing-wise, Bam Knight, a favorite of Rich, 12 for 22. And Garrett Wilson was your leading receiver for them, 9 for 89. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what this game was. The Dolphins win. The Patriots up in Buffalo. At the same time, the Dolphins needed them to lose, and that's, in fact, what they did in a very emotional game, which started off with a kickoff return for a touchdown and basically was put to bed by another kickoff return for a touchdown. Now, for everybody that listens to our show, especially last week, you witnessed one of our more heated shows as we were very opinionated. Me and Rich went at it quite a bit, and as far as whether or not New England was going to have something to play for and how that would turn out. And neither one of us could have ever imagined what went down as Damar Hamlin suffers an injury about an hour or so after me and Rich have this show and talk about it, where the entire country hanging on the edge of their seats for basically his life at stake. And you all know that he has been in the hospital and what he went through. And of course, the great story is he has made a full recovery in the sense that he was released today. He's back in Buffalo. Rich, I don't know where else to go with this. I mean, me and you could not have imagined what was about to take place shortly after our show and just the whirlwind of events that went on. And this even affected you, with the emotions that I've seen you go through. So it has certainly a happy ending as he's released today, but boy,
hey,
oh boy.
He's back in Buffalo. They released him from the hospital. I mean, how can he be in critical condition this afternoon and be home now? I don't think that diagnosis is correct. You can't be in critical condition to be released a few hours later.
No. I think you're absolutely right. I think that was a condition that was placed on there, and then obviously the media and everything kept that running. But I think he basically became stabilized. I've asked a couple people, and basically what it comes down to is if his heart was back okay, if there's damage there, and if there's damage, for lack of oxygen to his brain, which didn't appear to be, then you're pretty much out of the woods at that point and on the road to recovery. So happy ending for sure. And yeah, he now makes his way, he's out of the hospital, he's back in Buffalo. He was FaceTiming throughout the game. So, I don't know why they kept saying, critical condition. Even yesterday, I mean, he was FaceTiming people and players throughout the entire game. So, So that is that. But like I said, Rich, I mean,
who would think what we saw, what happened last week, and then before we go on the air this week, he's home. But it's just crazy, right? Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And that just adds to what I'm basically saying, that, from one show to the next, I don't think anybody could fathom what went on and the ups and that, and the amount of events that have taken place for me and you to go, red light from last Monday to this Monday. It's just, it's crazy, like you said. And to have, have him home when we are on the air right now is just, it's crazy.
Yep.
It really is. So the Miami Dolphins, they do what they needed to do. They get the victory against the Jets. Certainly wasn't pretty, but it was what most of us expected it would be, especially, with an offense that you were just hoping could kind of, put up some semblance of points enough to do this, and you hope that the Dolphin defense, would be enough to shut them down. Of course, they held them to 6 points, so they certainly did their job as well.
100%. Our kicker actually made a game-winning kick.
And a big kick, and I was waiting for you to say that. I didn't know if you were, you know, if you had a written apology or if you were just going to, you know, wing it on the air, and if you wanted me to silence everybody while you did it. But,
I'll
yeah,
wait for
Jason
my apology
Sanders.
From him.
I guess you got it. You got it, I guess. I guess
yeah,
you got it Sunday
it.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the fourth quarter. I guess the 48-yarder, 49-yarder. That was the apology to you. But, yeah, a huge kick from Sanders.
To apologize.
No,
I get an apology from somebody in chat. It's not out of it. So I ain't waiting for one from Sanders.
No, and I don't think you're getting one from either anyway. But that's what it is. Sanders obviously becomes the hero in the sense and does that. So, you know, we can't diminish that. One thing I got to tell you, I have heard a lot of very harsh criticism of Skylar Thompson today, which surprises me quite a bit because he is what he is, and you're basically just hoping that, you know, he basically had, you know, a kid going behind the car that just learned how to drive a stick, and you're hoping that he could drive the car to the store. I mean, you know, I don't know what anybody was expecting, but certainly, you know, this guy saved the season. I mean, he didn't make any mistakes, like you said, throughout
the
game.
Thing.
That's the whole thing.
That's what it is. Yeah. You can't give the game away. You're basically, we're not asking him to win it. We're asking him about to lose it. That's all. That's what his job was, and he did a good job yesterday with that. You know, you got to give him
for
credit.
Sure.
You know, second
for sure.
Start.
Yes,
job.
I mean, absolutely. It is what it is. So you got that.
Anybody who complains about Skylar Thompson has not been watching this team play for the last 22 years since 13 retired, because we've had some doozies, you know?
Yeah,
we've
I mean, we've had
first outs, you know?
Well, for sure. And so, you know, all in all, you have to be happy with that. Now, the latest news I have, and I do have some info for you, but the latest news we have right now is Tua has not passed protocol right now, but they're waiting for the next report, which would be on Wednesday, and we'll see where that kind of goes from there, and that's all we have right now. But on a side note, and I found this out today. I don't know how much I know you're a little under the weather today. So it turns out that you were 100% right last week on the the protocol, if you will, of how they're addressing the situation and what they're allowed to do. McDaniel then gave a press conference that he would not even address anything game plan because it's not good for him as a human. So he wasn't allowed to talk about it at all. And we then found out he was basically put in the locker room at a certain point and was not on anywhere on the field. He was in there. And at a certain point, and then finally joined the team after the game. And he was allowed to celebrate with them. So he was not involved in this game in any sense with anybody.
Well,
he was basically...
They were saying that McDaniel was not allowed to ask him any questions about the concussion.
Nothing.
Because it puts more
no.
pressure on him if he thinks
right.
about it. It puts
right.
more pressure on him. But wait a minute. I mean, obviously,
right.
don't you think he's thinking about that every second of the day?
Yes, but what I'm saying is that you can now amplify that. When you had said
yes.
that, you can now amplify it. Is that he gave a talk after people? He wasn't even allowed to address it. He did not factor into it at all into any game plans. He would not talk about the game in any respect with Tua's name in it, even to the press. So. Hey, listen, I just think you're getting to a certain bit of a bizarre area here. What does Tua have to do with it? Really, what does he have to do with it? Like, what, you're going to make him feel bad if he can't go? I mean, the doctors should be the ones that are making this decision. It should have nothing to do with him, really. I mean, if he doesn't want to play, of course, but, I mean, I don't know why he's being treated like a five-year-old here with this. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it is what it is, and we find out that he's actually sequestered in a certain part of the locker room once the game had already started. and then at the end of the conclusion was allowed to join the team.
He's not allowed to watch it.
I guess allowed to watch it in his private quarters on a private TV in there, but certainly not on the sideline, and certainly not in the box. And I can't. No, I'm not sure of that. No, I'm not sure of that. I cannot say that it was not blocked. I do not have that information. It is a possibility. I don't know. I don't know whether he watched the game or not. I don't know if he was allowed to. I just know that he was not allowed to be on the field, and he was not allowed to be in a box watching it, and that he was basically in the locker room, sequestered, and then came out. So I can't tell you any more than that, but that is what I got firsthand. And so
there's players that bring their infants there with headphones on them. They were like born like 5 days ago, and they were at the game with headphones on. But
so you're saying
sequestered in a closet?
Maybe Tua had to wear the headphones too, the noise blocking headphones.
Who was that? Remember that college coach that locked the guy in the bathroom?
Yeah.
He locked the player's phone in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Because it was a concussion.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He locked him in the closet.
Absolutely.
Like
that was a big name coach too.
Yeah. It was. No, with the players, it was a player's son. It was
right.
It was like the running back's son.
Right. No, that was a big thing. That was a pretty big name coach.
Yeah.
You would know better than me who that was, but it was.
Yeah,
I
forgot who it was.
It was
the Patriots running back son, I think. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And so basically,
is this a closet involved?
I don't know.
Is he locked up?
Not sure. I don't know the protocol, but and listen, it is what it. Listen, I as far as Tua and his health, we're not making fun of that, and you know, whatever that turns out, we'll see how this goes. I don't know, but I just think that the part of this is a little ludicrous to me. That to me is ridiculous. I don't know. This is going to go from you not have to talk to him. If he's cleared, you're going to throw him up against 11 guys looking to crush his skull on every play. I mean, there's got to be some kind of middle ground there, right? I mean, he's a man. Like, I don't understand.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying one way or another whether he should be cleared, but I just think he should be able to, you know, to treat the man like a man. I don't understand that. It's a little strange to me, but we move on. It's always a pleasure to beat the New York Jets. There was not necessarily a mark in their season that we ended, but I think when you can beat the Jets and send them home, I think their collapse is already in stone. So, and that's a big one. I mean, this was a team that was a little bit behind us as far as how high they had gotten. They may not have gotten to the number two, but I think they sniffed it. And to collapse like they did is, you know, it's very special to avoid this. I mean, the Dolphins were on the verge of a monumental collapse. We talked about the 93 season when Marino got hurt and how they were 9-3, I think, or whatever. 9-2. This was monumental. And, and they were able to dodge this. So that's a big thing. And always a very special thing as far as I'm concerned, and I know you feel the same way, to beat the New York Jets in this situation. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll play a very special promo for you as we come back.
It's intercepted at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be run in for a touchdown by A.J. Dewey at the 10-5. He scores!
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey. You're listening to the Pat Catella Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Cotello.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In the dark, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the time to promised land, to show you every.
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why.
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Okay, welcome back to Miami Dolphins Legend Show. We got Pat and Rich here, and we are recapping what is basically the season-ending game for the Dolphins, which pushed them into the playoffs. So that's a big thing, and obviously we'll have another week of football. So there's that. And just a reminder, you can catch us right on iTunes. Just go right to the iTunes store, and you can catch our shows right there. And subscribe. Send questions, comments, write to patcotelloshow@yahoo.com. We'll get to that. Rich, I don't know if you've seen, you know, obviously you always wait to see the games and how it will, you know, pan out schedule-wise. And, yeah, you can't make it up, but basically, for those who don't know, the Dolphins will be playing the Bills at Sunday at 1 o'clock. So, you know.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. You know, I think that's the best-case scenario. I don't want to be the first game Saturday night, you know what I mean? Or the second game Saturday night. I don't have a problem with that. That's a normal time.
Yeah.
It's not. We're not going to be the first ones out like usual, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you look at it like that, let me give you the lineup. So Saturday, you got the Seahawks versus the 49ers at 4:30. That's the first one that kicks off on Fox. And then after that, the Saturday night game is the Chargers versus the Jaguars, and that's at 8:15, and that's on NBC. So that's your Saturday slate. And now on Sunday, you have the Dolphins traveling up to Buffalo. That's a 1:05 start, and that's on CBS. And then you have the 4:40 game on Fox is the Giants and the Vikings. And then the late Sunday night game is the Ravens versus the Bengals, and that's at 8:15 on NBC. So that's a normal Sunday night game. And then on Monday night now, we're going to have a Monday night playoff game, which is a new thing, and you'll have it's actually a really good one. I mean, you're going to have the Cowboys go to the Buccaneers at 8:15. So that's an ESPN/ABC game. So that's how the wild card weekend will start off. Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I think weather-wise, that's probably the best-case scenario for the Dolphins.
It's
right?
Not going to be that bad either. Yeah. And there's no snow in the forecast. There's nothing.
No snow. It's going to be brisk, though. It's not going to be like it was last time we were up there. It's going to be a little colder.
A little colder, but clear.
No, not terrible. Yep. I mean, when you're up there, you know what it could be. So, obviously, yeah, they'll be okay as far as this,
right? What do they do with the teams that play Monday night, like the next week? If the team that wins, like...
I was told that automatically those teams are going to get the late Sunday. Yeah, That's what I'm hearing right now. That the Monday night game will get what's that?
Just what happened to Burrito in his last game, right?
Really yeah, I knew you were going to bring up that. You know, it's always nice to play the late game in Seattle and then have to come back and play the early game on Saturday in Jacksonville. That's always sweet.
Is that ridiculous? It still makes
no
sense to me at all. That's a
no. No, it was very strange how they set that up. And you know, it's upsetting, too, because you got to figure if they didn't have that, they got to at least lose 62-14, right? I would think they'd be able to put another one across the I know what you mean, though. I feel the same way. I thought that they had, you know, there's a lot of bad omens that have taken place under Marino's career. That's certainly one of them. You know, playing a Super Bowl in a fog of the home team's practice facility. Yeah. You know, wasn't the greatest scenario either. But you know, it is what it is. But the Dolphins should have, you know, a fairly good time slot, as you put it. I guess I'm just saying it's not really exciting. You know, it's not really exciting. It's just like, you know, the normal Sunday slot. Yeah, I hear you, and I'm sure most people don't. And yeah, it's not an event time, you know. But it's probably better that it's not.
Less people watch it, maybe we'll play.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think it's something like that. I must tell you, you have gotten a lot of Bills, quote, mafia chiming in at you this week, coming after you. We've gotten a lot of remarks on the show, emails and stuff, and so you have a pretty big fan base waiting for Sunday,
you
have been called out.
For that idiotic name that they named themselves.
Yes.
I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't care. I'm happy the Bills Mafia don't like them because I don't like them.
They don't. Yeah, it's mutual. And I don't know where it's come from, but they've picked up on you somehow because you have found their attention this week. And,
that's my job. Jump on a card table and drink a shot of cherry schnapps out of a bowl of ball for the 48th time a day. That's good, yeah.
Well,
it's good for you.
I believe it's peach schnapps, my friend. I believe it's peach. So if you're not going to get it right.
Okay.
I thought it was peach. If you're not going to get it right, then I don't want you anywhere near Rich Stadium.
I have to look that up.
You stay away from
cherry.
Rich Stadium. Yes.
And it's not Rich Stadium anymore. How about that one?
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
And I couldn't even tell you what it is now.
Keep it up. You keep it up. I was going to get you one of the bleachers from the old stadium for your birthday. Now you're not getting it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want.
Forget about it. I would say that, you know, all in all, this has been a very strange year. It really has. It's been a very strange year. I mean, it really has. And when you look at the playoff situation and everything.
Seriously, I think the most ridiculous thing I keep hearing is, like, you know, when the Dolphins were 8-3, all the fans were talking Super Bowl. Who were they? I don't know anybody was talking Super Bowl. Were you? I wasn't.
No, but to be quite honest, Rich, there was a lot. When the Dolphins were riding high after that, I think it was after that I think
the playoff drought. And maybe we could win a couple of games.
No, but when they beat
Super Bowl.
When they beat the Texans, I think, and they had that 5-game winning streak, and you know, they were putting up those numbers. Honestly, there was a lot of people that were starting to talk Super Bowl. There really was. There was a lot of clowns that had jumped right in.
I know Tuna wasn't. One's me, and one's you. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, but you know how these fans are. I mean, it's just. But so you know, there was. But you know, let me also say that you know, there was a lot of events that have turned so much, and this week there was not a little bit of sentiment, but a lot of sentiment to fire Mike McDaniel, as ridiculous as that is. There was an enormous amount. And it started off from the famous Miami article from the Miami Herald by Segarra that basically his job was in jeopardy. And a lot of people had jumped on board of that. Now, this was a step away from ending very badly. Now, we've talked about, rumors. Me and you kind of had some talks about this. There's going to be a lot of changes next year. Sean Payton now, who explained, what the circumstances are there. Now, the Broncos have gotten permission from the Saints, so they're going to interview him. You had said that started from, him being out there. I don't think it did. I think it just started, and I think him being out there, obviously, is another, issue in itself, because, there's going to be teams that want him, and if you remember correctly, it was Brady who was on the yacht who now is going to be, there's a lot of people talking where he's going to go. I think, the Raiders are certainly a viability, and the Dolphins, you've heard that. That's going to stay. So there's going to be some change there, but it was kind of that package that Ross was trying to put together with him and then have Payton coach it and all that kind of stuff. So there's going to be movement, I guess, but I was just surprised that you were talking Super Bowl to firing the coach. That literally took place in a three to maybe 4 week span, maybe 4 weeks, right? I mean, that just goes to show you the mentality, especially, it just really does. I mean, to go from those extremes is ridiculous.
This was a very boring Black Monday, by the way, too. I mean, would have got like 3 firings, did I,
Yeah, because you got a lot of new coaches, I guess. But there's going to be more. I mean, Lovie Smith is going to be fired.
Well,
I would assume they did fire. Cardinals.
Actually.
Right, and then Cardinals fired up today.
Yes. Married. Yeah.
Right. And the Broncos
he's
before
got,
that, right?
He's got like 3 more years on his contract, Matt. Like,
who does? Yeah. Yeah, Rich, I think when you have
Broncos happened already, like we all knew that, that was a done deal. They said Rivera may go.
Rivera?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's Washington. You know how they are. I mean, they're itching away.
I don't think he did a bad job this year. I don't know why he benched Heineke, 2 weeks ago. I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
He brought back, Wentz for the 30th time. It's like, and they got knocked out of the playoffs that game. Like, I think that was a huge mistake.
Yeah, I don't understand why, Heineke hasn't gotten more respect over there. He seems that he wins big games. I don't know. I thought he,
Rivera seems to have gotten very nasty in the last few years. Like, he never was really like that. He seems like he turned nasty all of a sudden,
Yeah, I've noticed
it. His demeanor and everything else. I know he went through a lot, but he just doesn't seem to be the same guy anymore,
Right. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So
there may actually be a change there. I mean, there's going to be openings, and there's some big coaches, Sean Payton obviously is going to be the biggest name. Harbaugh, you thought he made a comment that he was done. Now it seems like he's not done. Now it seems like he is looking to maybe make a move. So we'll see what happens there. And there's some decent situations with teams, that are set up, have a lot of draft picks or young talent. So there's enticing jobs out there is the best way to put it. So we'll see what lands and who lands. And, McVay, we don't know what's going on with him, right? He's going to take some time and decide whether he wants to come back or not. I don't know how long that process is.
Somebody that does something like that that's going to step away is leaving, I believe. I don't think he's going to step away and say, okay, I'm back now. I would think he's gone.
You think he's gone?
Dennis Allen says he expects the return to the Saints.
What happened?
Dennis Allen says he expects the return to the Saints.
Well, I'll tell you this. As far as the Saints go, I mean, I think Dennis Allen is contingent upon whether or not Sean Payton takes another job, right? Because I think that's certainly in Sean Payton's, you know.
I mean, they have him on their contract, right? I mean, that would be the easiest place for him to land, right?
Right.
They really have
him on their
contract. Yeah.
It would. I don't know how much pull he has if he wants to go to somewhere else.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll make a trade, but I don't know how much pull he has, right? I mean, they have to make some kind of arrangements with the Saints. Can the Saints just adamantly say no, 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 no? Or at some point, do they have to, will the league make them make some kind of deal?
No, for 2 years, it's up to the Saints. They can ask for whatever they want compensation-wise. They can't, he can't just be signed if the Saints don't agree to it because they own his rights for 2 more years.
Yeah, well, I'm not really saying that. What I'm saying is, at a certain point, do they have to negotiate and make a deal? I mean, the league's going to step in at a certain point. The league's going to step in at a certain point. If a team makes an offer.
I don't think they would hold a, you know, if they're getting a first-round pick and a couple middle-round picks, I don't think they would hesitate. I think they would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think so, too.
I don't think that ended well there, right? Really?
No, but it must not have ended bad enough, because I've heard him, I've heard it talked that he may go there again. And, I don't think it ended that poorly. I don't think it's going to happen, honestly, because I don't think they have the quarterback situation that he wants. But if by some happenstance they were able to, you know, would it happen?
Well, I think the Texans are going to go after him hard, though.
Yeah, that's a job that I don't see him loving, though.
But you don't think he wants...
No, because as good as the picks are, it's like starting over. He's a veteran guy.
Yeah.
He's got a Super Bowl thing. There's a lot of growing pains that have to take place there. Doug Peterson has done an excellent job, but you see where that's at. I mean, that's the best-case scenario. And that's a second-year guy.
Right.
And that's a second-year guy, Rich. Even though it was a nightmare first year for Trevor Lawrence, and all the – I mean, I think that, happened to go through that entire coaching debacle set him back so much. He still had a year to play football. And that's got to help you coming in. You're not a rookie, you know what I mean? You've got experience.
Yep.
The Urban Meyer thing definitely hurt him, but as far as getting some on-the-field experience and going through a year in the NFL, he was able to do that. So you'd be talking about starting fresh for Peyton. I just don't think he would want to do that. But I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe he would. But I think he wants to go to a place that has more established veteran talent, and he could, you know, win much quicker. That's what I would think he would want. The Raiders.
But I don't think are the teams with open spots for coaching. They really don't have the quarterback, any of them, right?
It depends. I mean, it depends how you look at it. You got Brady is going to go somewhere else. Okay, so he's going somewhere. I don't know where he's going to end up. I think the Raiders are probably the.
You don't need to retire.
I mean, is it a possibility? Yes, but, I mean, no, I don't think so. I think there's going to be some jobs that might appeal to him to keep playing. But, you listen, he plays Monday night. So a lot of what transpires is going to dictate, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, so we'll have to see how that kind of plays itself out. You know, quarterback's always the key. I don't know, you know, you've seen last night. Aaron Rodgers, to me, looked like a guy who was relieved that this season ended. That's what I saw there. Now, is that his last game? I think it's a good chance it is. I mean, you've seen the jersey trade. Nah, I'm going to keep this one. You know, I just think that Aaron Rodgers might be done. But if he's not, you know, that's another quarterback that might go somewhere else. There's going to be some movement around. And, you know, we'll have to see, I guess, where that kind of places itself, you know. But you know, it's going to be an interesting off season, to say the least. But it's going to be an interesting playoffs. This is going to be very interesting to see how these playoffs transpire and what comes from it. So, all right, keep that in mind. Got a lot of...
There's not two dominant teams that we're going to say, okay, these two are definitely going to be in the Super Bowl.
No,
there isn't. It's going to be a lot of mystery here.
Yes, for sure. Okay, another Jet promo for you, and we'll be right back.
30 seconds to go. I believe Marino is saying I'm going to spike it.
Takes the snap from center. He's looking. He throws.
By
the
line!
Touchdown, Dolphins! Mark Ingram! Caught it in the corner of the end zone in front of Aaron Glenn. His fourth touchdown catch of the game. That was unbelievable. They caught the Jets off guard on that play.
This is Mark Ingram, and you're listening to the Pat Cotello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotello. Sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Cotello.
Welcome back, my friends. Miami Dolphins Legend Show. Come to the final stretch here, and we are prepping for the Dolphins' first playoff game since 2016. And Rich, you know, when you've heard it all week. I mean, the Jets are the longest streak now, and they're harping on that hard. That's what 2000, right? And you know, and they even start a little bit with the 2016. So I tell you this all the time. I think it's always good to you know, to break that, to become a playoff team. I kind of feel like you feel differently this year because you were certainly very excited to get this team in there. And I still believe that, yeah, it's not a criteria. You don't have to do it, but it definitely helps to get your team, your organization, especially if they're young, some kind of a playoff experience to see how it all kind of shakes out, regardless of the outcome. I think that helps you. I really do. And so, either way, that's
just because you get there doesn't mean you're going to win one next year, and the next year you're going to
doesn't
be
mean you're
going to
win one next year. But what it does mean is that the next time you're in there. Your players have played in a playoff game, right? It means something. Like, you know, if you're getting veteran guys.
We got in there, those guys never saw the playoffs again. Right.
Well, but that's not really my point. And a lot of those guys are gone, long gone.
I'm saying.
This is a new team.
I understand.
Yeah,
those guys never got back to the playoffs.
Yeah, you're missing my point, though, when you say that. That's not really my point. My point is that if you do have a team that gets back there, the players that have played in playoff games, I think it takes a little bit of that edge off in the sense that you know what it entails. You know, when you get to a Super Bowl – that's a new thing, right? I mean, obviously, you know, that's your butterflies, this and that, you're not going to get that experience necessarily. But I think that, you know, just having a playoff under your belt is going to make a lot of these guys a little bit more aware of what it is if they ever get back there and out in the future. It's not the end all.
No, I mean, I think the most important part is getting Tua back, though, you know?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah. We can't go, like I said, you can't go to a gunfight with a knife. And that's, if we don't have him back, it's not really going to be a fair fight, you know?
No, of course. That's an entirely different point and issue. But, yeah,
of course. That's why I'm not more excited about this than I usually would be.
Sure,
you know what I mean? Worried about it a little bit.
Of course. I mean, I am too. I don't, you know, listen, I think you have your hands full, even with Tua going up there.
100%.
I think is going to be a real uphill battle.
The line opened up at 10.5 today, so,
Right.
They don't think Tua is
right, which says, that's assuming he is playing or not?
I think that they don't think he is playing.
They don't think he is. So if he does wind up playing, that line drops to
six.
Right.
Six and a half.
Yeah, that sounds.
You know.
Yeah, that sounds right. So if that's the case, it shows you, you know, where you're at as far as that goes. The playoffs are another level. We went back and forth. I argued with a lot of people on, you know, I'm very critical a lot of times, and you certainly are, of the NFL, all right? They do a lot of things, you know, that are just make you shake your head. But, you know, I have to say, I think they really got this right on so many different levels. I know they're taking still a lot of heat, but let's face it, the things that they implemented and had in place – saved DeMar Hamlin's life. There's no way around that. They acted quick. The protocol, they were prepared for this. They revived him. They saved his life. That's first and foremost.
Yeah,
and, and that's all because of things that have went on and changes that are made, and they were prepared for this. They really were. And they all acted, you know, fantastic on a whole.
Trainers, too. You got to give the EMS a lot of credit too. They knew.
Oh, what for
they
sure.
Doing. They took control. But how about the clown on the Packers pushing the EMS guy yesterday?
I was just going to go there let
doing?
Me tell you something. As ridiculous that is, his sidekick was it number 95? I don't know who that was.
Yeah, he
should have been.
Yeah,
he should have been ejected too. Why did he skate with this?
There was another guy that did like a make-believe CPR thing after he did a play yesterday. I don't remember what game it was.
Really?
That was a celebration yesterday. He did a CPR thing. Yeah.
I didn't see that. Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah. Are you guys nuts? You know?
That's a little bizarre. Yeah, I didn't see that. Jeez. I thought that, you know, that was ridiculous. And he should have been ejected as well. But you know, getting back to the situation with as far as the ramifications, there was no perfect solution. There really wasn't. We went through 100. There was no perfect solutions. Me and you were all night, you know, going through that. And I think they found the best case scenario. And as it worked out, you know, Cincinnati complained and tweeted and everything you could imagine really didn't change anything. The team that really suffered the most was the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they're the only ones that really had ramifications from it. I mean, they were the number one seed going into that game, and they lost that. They immediately lost that by not playing that, and now they're playing the Miami Dolphins in a game that they really shouldn't have had to play. Kansas City certainly benefited from it. And, yeah, if these teams get to the championship game, there'll be some kind of a coin flip, neutral site, what have you, if it transpires that way. But I don't think the NFL could have really handled that any better. They're still taking a lot of criticism. Like I said, you know, we've been critical of them. You've been super, super critical of them. In this case scenario, I really think they got it right for the entire, you know, process as best they could. I mean, so that's just where I come in on this. I don't know, you know, where you know, I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, I think it's tough. It's a no-win situation for them because no matter what they did, they're going to get criticized. You know,
for
if they ever held them there and played on Tuesday, like I even suggested, they would have got killed for that, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So there was, you know, it's a different world we live in right now. And, you know, there's a lot of noise coming in from outside that people listen to that they should ignore.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you with that. I read you loud and clear with that.
Yeah,
yep.
You know, so yeah. Like, you know, go to your Super Bowl parties and, you know, eat your dip and leave our sport alone, okay, please? You know,
yeah.
That's all. You know?
So that is what it is. All right. So, you know,
yeah.
Moving on, another topic of conversation is, you know, this year has been strange. There's been teams that have, you know, overly excelled, the MVP talk and all that kind of stuff. You know, I know that the media and everybody wants to, you know, Mahomes to have this award. I'm sure he's going to have it. My personal opinion, I think Jalen Hurts should get the MVP. I know you probably disagree. The guy's been 14-1 this year when he's played, and the team, obviously, you've seen, couldn't do anything, you know, without him. He comes back to solidify that number one seed and the bye. I don't think anybody outside of Philadelphia picked the Philadelphia Eagles to have 15 wins and 14 wins and to get the number one seed and the bye. I mean, just think that was a crazy great season. He would be my pick, obviously. I mean, I think Mahomes is, you know, they're going to give it to him, but, you know, that's my take on that as far as that goes.
Would it be nice to actually, like, watch one of those shows one time when one of our guys has a chance to get it?
To get an MVP?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is kind of strange because there was a time this year where Tua certainly, I think, to be quite honest with you, there was a time this year where I thought Tua was the MVP. Yeah. Now, that was early, and it ended in a very quick fashion.
Yeah.
And you know, the ironic part of that is, even when he was, they were not giving it to him. When he was the MVP.
No way. No way. And he had 55 touchdowns, they wouldn't give it to him.
I know.
They would make it.
But there was a time this year where that man was the front runner, and if the season ended then, should have won the MVP.
I don't know if he's changed, but at one point, it was a few weeks ago, he had the most touchdowns of 40 or more yards through the air than anybody else in the league. And I still hear people on TV saying he can't throw a long touchdown.
Yeah, I know.
Once they get a moniker, they don't let it go. You know?
No, they don't. He'll never be respected in that way. He never will.
Yeah.
He'll never get it, no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what transpires, he just never will get it. And
he'll never admit they were wrong with the criticism. And, you know, so
no.
You were 100% right.
You know, one thing that I will say that has upset me, a couple things. I told you this is a big play offense, and that concerns me in a lot of different ways. It still does. Obviously, Tua playing is the factor. Tua not playing is, you know, night and day. We know that. Don't know what's going to transpire there. Not giving an opinion either way. I'm just saying, you know, that obviously is the end of Wednesday, I would assume. I would assume Wednesday we'll know. I would assume Wednesday we will know. Now, keep in mind two things, Rich. Okay, let's assume he does play this game. And I said this to you, and, you know, and I said this to my son and a lot of other people. Let's not forget, Tua did play 4 out of the 5 losses in a row. Started 4 of those games. Now, you can say whatever you want about the fourth one.
I know.
But he did, you know, he was the quarterback in those games. So this team needs to, you know, it's not like the end all there, and he hasn't played now in another, you know, 2+ weeks. So, you know, expecting him to be sharp would not be, you know, I don't think too observant, right? I would think there's going to be some kind of rustiness, you know, irregardless, but we'll see. We'll see how this all pans out. But I'm just saying.
I would hope that, like, you know, the team just elevates itself, you know, at that point. And I think the passing game would be a complete different look, you know?
Right. Now, running back-wise, Mostert played a great game. He's got a broken thumb now, I'm hearing. So
yeah.
Does that take him out of this?
He can't play with a broken thumb for your running back.
Well, I guess the problem is ball control, especially
in
a physical cold thing.
Yeah, a cold day, I guess, yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess that's what it comes down to, not being able to hold the ball properly, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, because I think he's listed as doubtful now.
Is it doubtful? Yeah, really?
I heard it come right when I got on the air.
We don't know
how
bad it is, you know?
No. I don't.
We never really saw the play, right?
No, but we knew when he came out and they reported it was his thumb. And you made a comment.
I remember when they said it, but we never really saw it happen.
You were disgusted.
You know? I was
so
disgusted.
Yeah.
You know I was. Yeah.
I know. So.
If a kick hurts his head, does he kick too? He can't kick either. You know, he's a running back.
And let me just say. I'm getting a little tired of the Tyreek Hill tantrums. I'm getting tired of them. You know, I said that the week before, he complained, and then you took a catchable ball, not a great ball, but you knocked it in the air for a huge interception, and on the biggest play that they had, 40-something yards, which was a game changer. You know, you illegally shifted, and the whole thing was called back. So, enough already with this. I mean, it is what it is, but, you know. I'm just telling you, I'm getting a little tired of it. And I think you're a step away from another outburst, all right? I'm getting tired of the helmet slams, the complaining. I don't like it.
He's throwing, he's showing emotion.
Yes, he certainly
you know?
Is showing emotion. There's no doubt about it. I'm gonna start showing some emotion too. You want to see emotion? I'm gonna show you emotion.
I only complain about number 25. That you know, giving up pass after pass, one interception all year. Talk about a waste of money. He's been atrocious this year.
Well, I don't know if atrocious is the word. He hasn't been Xavier Howard, but he hasn't been atrocious. He certainly hasn't been what we know Howard can do. The defense lets up 6 points, you know, Rich. I mean, it is what it is. They let up 6 points.
He got beat on four straight pass plays yesterday.
I think you're exaggerating there. I was going to say, you know, as we come to the end here, I'm going to let you have the last say. I'm regretting that with every sense of my being right now, but I'm still going to give it to you as we come to an end here.
I never see Troy Vincent get beat 4 times by his own buddy in a row.
I can't argue with that. I absolutely like that comment. And we will see you next week, same time, same bat channel, my friends, as the Buffalo Bills host the Miami Dolphins in the 2022-23 playoffs. Thanks for joining us.
Took a look down a westbound road, right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. The window a long moment, then she looked into my eyes.
you didn't have to say a thing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.